for your life. Take time to set educational goals, career goals, personal goals. Write them down. Keep them in front of you. Look at them often. They will help you plan your life. And they will help you achieve more than if you don't set any goals at all. It's worked well for me. And it's been proven that it works time and time again. So, what about you? Do you have life goals? Goals for education? Goals for career? Personal goals? If you do, that's awesome. Because these goals are what's going to keep you moving in a positive direction. These goals are going to help you to plan and to make decisions. But what happens when things don't go the way you planned? Does that ever happen to you? Well, wait, now that's not how life is, right? Everything that you plan always goes exactly the way you had it planned, right? Now, that's not how life goes at all. I can tell you from experience, that's not how life goes at all. You know, I shared with you a couple of weeks ago about my brush with death, that fatal, near-fatal car accident that I found myself in. You really think that that was part of my plan for my life? Now, I'll be honest and say that back then, I didn't really have much of a plan, but I can guarantee you that that was not a part of it. And you can probably share stories as well when things did not go the way you planned. There's a saying that I like. And it goes, everybody has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. And really what that's saying is when things go wrong, when things go really wrong, people end up lost. Our plans fall apart and we don't know what to do. And we see countless examples of this in the Bible, of situations that didn't go the way they were planned. Moses was one that came to mind. One of the heroes of the faith, Moses. You may be familiar with this story. Even if you're not, Moses was a Hebrew. He was born a Hebrew. And through a very interesting set of circumstances that we read about in Exodus chapter 2, he ended up growing up in Pharaoh's household. Interesting story. You should read it sometime if you haven't. But Moses enjoyed this position of power and wealth in Egypt, but then he decided to give that up. Hebrews 11 tells us that he refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt. So Moses bailed on this life of luxury that he'd been living to become a slave with his Hebrew brothers and sisters. And then also in Exodus 2, we read a story about Moses actually killing an Egyptian. He saw an Egyptian abusing one of his fellow Jews and he stepped in and he killed him. And Moses actually thought that he was helping. He thought he was helping his people. He was really trying to rescue them. But Acts 7 tells us that Moses thought that his own people would realize that God was using him to rescue them, but they did not. See, Moses had a plan. He was going to rescue his people. But the people didn't recognize that plan. And what they did was they chased him out of there. They named him a killer. And Moses was forced to flee for his life. And he spent the next 40 years of his life in a desert, herding sheep. Now, eventually, in God's perfect timing, He did rescue the Israelites. And He used Moses to do it. But it wasn't part of His plan. It wasn't part of God's plan. Things like that still happen today? I'm pretty sure they do. Think about this. How many of you planned to be quarantined in your house for the last few months? I didn't think I'd see any hands. How many of you planned to lose your job or have your hours cut? How many of you planned on the economy collapsing and the markets taking a nosedive? How many of you planned on not being able to come to church and worship? Has any of what's been happening in the world lately been part of anyone's plan? Friends, we've all been punched in the mouth. We really have. Most, if not all, of our plans have been derailed. And quite honestly, some of the plans that we had as a church have been detoured. They've been detoured. Clearly, it wasn't part of our plan to not meet for the last 14 weeks. Somebody pointed that out to me, that on June 14, it will have been 14 weeks since we last met. And since I'll be preaching for an hour and 14 minutes this morning, I think the number 14 holds great significance. Why are you laughing? What's so funny? Anyway, it's been 14 weeks. But that was not part of our plan to push pause on our ministries. Our men's ministry, our women's ministry, children, outreach. I mean, that is what Hope Church is about, is outreach. But circumstances dictated that we push pause and we reassess what it is we're doing. We reassess our plans and figure out a new way to do church. And we did that. We scrambled. We scrambled to put our services online. And let me tell you, there was a lot of work that went into what you saw on Sunday mornings. And it's kind of interesting because we finally were kind of getting it together. And now we're back here. Not that this is bad. This is much better. Don't get me wrong. But we were just kind of hitting our stride with the online stuff. But we have a whole new set of challenges, as our tech people will clue you into. What it boils down to is this. It is all about God's plan. It's all about God's plan. No matter how we plan, no matter how we map things out, our careers, our family life, or even the life of our church, all it boils down to is God's plan. Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't plan. On the contrary, planning is good. Scripture encourages it. Proverbs tells us that the plans of the diligent surely lead to abundance. It's good to make plans. What I want for us today is to really change our perspective on how we make our plans and how we approach our plans. See, we need to understand that in the face of all of our circumstances, in the face of a pandemic, in the face of civil unrest, in the face of political turmoil, God is in control and is working out His sovereign plan for each and every one of us, for our families, for Hope Church, and for the world. Now, to do that, we're going to look briefly at a passage from James chapter 4. We're going to look at verses 13 to 15. If you want to open your Bibles to James chapter 4, that would be great. You'll notice that there are no Bibles in the seat pockets in front of you. That's by design. That adds another complexity, a level of complexity to our sanitation. So bring your own Bible. That's a good idea. Yeah. So open your Bibles to James chapter 4. So a little bit of background and context here. This book is written by James, who was the half-brother of Jesus. And James was the leader of the Jerusalem church. And the story of his conversion is really fascinating, and we don't have time to go into it this morning, but how he actually became the leader of the church is an interesting story, being the half-brother of Jesus. But he writes this letter, and this letter is written to Jewish Christians who had been meeting in churches, and it's filled with great teachings for Christians of that time, but it's also very, very applicable to us today. See, there have been some conflict in the church and some disagreements. That's hard to believe, right? Conflicts and disagreements? Oh my goodness. But some of the Jewish Christians had fallen into a worldly lifestyle and had become, as James puts it in chapter 1, verse 8, they had become double-minded. See, they were wavering between God and the world. And I'm so glad that we as Christians don't struggle with that today. Yeah, you got the sarcasm there. Good. You're with me. Because we do struggle with that. Absolutely. It is so challenging to be in this world and not of this world today. Now, in chapter 4, James really starts to get down to the solution for this worldliness, for this worldly lifestyle. And he makes it clear that one of the keys to this problem is to humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. Humble yourself. Get right with God. Get in right relationship with God. In verse 6 of chapter 4, James quotes Proverbs 3 and reminds us that God opposes the proud but gives favor to the humble. Friends, the grace of God comes only to the humble. And in light of the grace that is offered only to the humble, there's only one thing that we can do. And he goes on in verse 7 to say, submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Submit to God. Humble yourself before God. Submit to the King of Kings, because He alone is worthy of honor and glory. Submit to the Lord of Lords, because it is absolutely necessary to our salvation. Submit to God, because it is the only way to have peace. Submit to Him, because His rule and His plan is good. It's good. We need to humble ourselves before God. But you know, Satan's going to tell you that God's got it wrong this time. No, you know better. You have a better plan. You know what's best for your life. God must be mistaken. Look, things are not going the way I had them planned. God must be wrong. We have to resist the temptation to think that. And we have to submit to God's will. So let's read those verses 13 to 15 from James chapter 4. James says in verse 13, "Now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city, spend a year there, carry on business, and make money." What James is doing here is he's rebuking those who make plans apart from considering the things of God. And this goes far beyond what we've talked about before, and that's making wise plans. This is more than setting reasonable goals for oneself. No, because this verb here is in the indicative. It says, we will go. Very presumptuous. Very presumptuous. Assuming to know the future, even though one has no knowledge or control over it. Charles Spurgeon notes that there is not even a word about God in this sentence. Oh, the pride in that idea. The problem, as James lays it out in verse 14, is that you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. You think you have a handle on the future? You can't even see the next day. You can't even see the next moment. How arrogant is it to say something like, "This is what I will do"? I love how Spurgeon puts it. He says, "There are two great certainties about things that shall come to pass. One is that God knows, and the other is that we do not." Then at the end of verse 14, James asks us really to consider how fragile life is. He says, "What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes." And this idea of our life being compared to a vapor, James is echoing the Old Testament, because we see that comparison in Job and in the Psalms and in 1 Chronicles. Our life is like a vapor. Friends, tomorrow is not guaranteed. Your life could be snatched away from you this very afternoon. Now, this isn't said to scare anybody. No, but it is a reality. And knowing this, knowing that life is short, encourages us to be thoughtful and steadfast about the plans that we make. Because James is not discouraging us from planning. He's not discouraging us from doing. No, he understands that planning is good. He agrees with Solomon's wisdom from Proverbs. What James is doing here is warning against planning and doing apart from reliance on God, without submitting and humbling yourself before God. See, he goes on in verse 15 to kind of wrap it all up, sort of bring it all home, if you will. Because there he says, "Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and do this or that." See, that's the caveat. That's the plans should be made. You stay with me, listen. That's the caveat, right? That is the condition under which all of our plans should be subject to. If it is the Lord's will. And we know from experience that our plans don't always match up with God's will, right? Our plans don't always match up with God's plans. Like I said before, we see many examples of that in the Bible. I've seen it in my life. And I'm betting that every one of you have experienced it in your life as well. Friends, anything short of being completely subject to God's will is sheer arrogance. It's arrogance. It's pride. If we think that we can live and move and have our being apart from God, nothing could be more prideful than that. And it is the root of all sin. Proverbs 16 reminds us, "Pride goes before destruction, a haughty or egotistical spirit before a fall." And James agrees. Remember, his previous advice was to submit to God. Humble yourselves before God. So, we now understand and agree that planning and setting goals subject to the will of God is a good thing. How does that help us today? How can we apply this to our lives in the here and now? Well, as individuals, it is clear and it is good to set goals and make plans for our lives. But we must subject those goals and plans to the will of God and understand that our plans may have to change based on the circumstances we find ourselves in. Because God uses our circumstances to shape us. God uses our circumstances to prepare us for what He has for us to do. All our circumstances, right? Not just the good circumstances, but He uses the bad circumstances as well. Sometimes even more so. And there is so much wisdom, friends. There's so much wisdom in setting goals and making plans subject to the will of God. What I want to spend a couple of minutes on this morning as we start to wrap up here, I want to focus on what this means to Hope Church. Because this is important. This is important as we begin to gather again this week and in the coming weeks. It's important to understand our plan. Now, as I said before, our circumstances forced us to push pause on much of what we've been doing. Well, guess what? It's time to push play. It's time to start moving forward again. And we're going to do that. You know, we began this morning and really throughout we've been talking about goals and plans. Do we as a church have a goal? Do we have a goal? We have a goal. You may know it more familiarly. You may know it better as our vision statement. What's our vision statement? Lives changed because Hope Church cares. That's our vision statement, friends. Lives changed because Hope Church cares. That's our goal. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. And this isn't something that the steering team just threw down on a piece of paper. No, we prayerfully and thoughtfully considered what it was God was calling this church to, and we became convinced that we are here to see lives changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Amen. We live and move and have our being as a church to see lives changed by God. And praise be to Him, we've seen some of that already. Many of you here today or watching online have had your lives transformed by the power of the gospel shared with you through Hope Church. Praise be to God and praise be to God alone. But friends, we are not done yet. We are not done yet. We were forced to push pause by this pandemic, but as we push play once again and we start to move forward this week and into the coming weeks, friends, I believe that God is going to work in a mighty way. I believe that God is at work right now. And He is going to use our circumstances, everything we've been through over the past few months, to really bless Hope Church. I believe that. I believe that. You know, how can God use these circumstances? How can God use a pandemic? I don't know. We're going to have to wait and see. But I believe that He will use it for His good. I believe that He will use it to change lives. Anyone know how we're going to do that? How we're going to change lives? We have that planned out too. You know that, right? We have a roadmap for that. Anybody know what that is? Mission statement? Anybody have any idea what our mission statement is? Nobody? Honor God by loving our neighbors, sharing the gospel, and caring for each other. And this is another statement that we wrestled over and prayed over. And we believe that this mission is in lockstep with God's will. We believe that this parallels God's plan. Any idea how we know that? It's biblical. It's in the Bible. Let's break it down real quick. First, we want to honor God. Honor God, friends. That is why we were created. We were created to bring honor and glory to the God of the universe. That's why we're here on this earth. In Isaiah 43, God tells us that we were created for His glory. So when we honor God, friends, we are fulfilling the purpose for which we were placed on this earth. Nothing could be more important than honoring God. What about loving our neighbors? Is that biblical? You can say yes. If I'm not mistaken, Jesus Himself said that it is the second greatest command to what? Love your neighbor. Would it be important to listen to Jesus when He says that that's the second greatest command? Love your neighbor. And I have to add a comment here about whom we are called to love. Our neighbor. Does that mean just the people that live close to us? You know, just the people in our neighborhood, right? Oh, okay. It's just the people that look like us, right? It's just the people that dress like us, act like us. We are called, friends, to love everyone. Everyone. And friends, with so much hate and bigotry in the world today, we need to shine the light of God's love to everyone. Everyone. Regardless of their ethnicity. Regardless of their social status. Regardless of the color of their skin. The love we have for our neighbors, friends, the love we have for everyone is what defines us as Christians. It is our witness. It's our witness. And we're going to share the gospel. We're going to share the gospel. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "Go and make disciples of all nations." And say, you know, if it's not too much trouble, you know, could you go? Right? And say, if you're not too busy, I know how busy you are, but if you're not too busy, go. No, He said, go! Go and make disciples! We're going to share the gospel with a world that desperately needs Jesus. And I heard a young man say to someone just a few weeks ago, he said, "You know, your neighbor is dying and going to hell. What are you doing about it?" Convicted me. convicted me. Friends, we have something that the world needs badly. The world needs forgiveness. The world needs salvation. The world needs redemption. The world needs the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're going to bring it to them. Amen. And finally, we're going to care for each other. We're going to care for our community here. We were created for community. We were meant to do this together. We were meant to gather as a body of believers. We're all in this together. We were never meant to go it alone. We were never meant to be quarantined off by yourself, socially distanced. That's why I hated that so much. Social distancing? No, nonsense. Physical distancing, that's a different story. We need each other. We need community. That's why these past few weeks were so hard. We need to care for each other. Friends, that's what we're about. That's our mission. That's our vision. And let me tell you, I am all in. I am all in for Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ went all in for me. He died on a cross for me. I'm all in. And I know that some of you are right there with me. Right there with me, all in. All in for Jesus Christ, all in for Hope Church. Does that sound like something you want to be a part of? Could that be one of the life goals that you write down today? To be all in for Jesus? To be all in at Hope Church? You know, Jesus tells us in Matthew 6 to store up treasures in heaven. Don't store up treasures here on earth. Not worth it. Store up treasures in heaven, because we know that heaven is our eternal home. That's the promise of the gospel, an eternity spent with Jesus. Can you think of a greater activity than one that rewards you in the next life? One that rewards you for all eternity. So I'm asking you to join us on this journey. To build the kingdom of God here in Lowell, Indiana, here in Northwest Indiana. We need your help. We need your help. We need more volunteers. Doesn't matter if you don't think you have a skill. We need you. We need your help to achieve our goal. Lives changed because Hope Church cares. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you and Lord, we just praise you. We thank you so much for what you've done for us. We thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sacrifice that you made on the cross for us. And Lord, as we seek to bring that gospel to the people that need it so desperately, Lord, we just pray that your hand of blessing would be upon our plans. That you would bless our plans as a church to build your kingdom here. If it be your will, Lord, build your kingdom here. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.